Check, 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 check. Can you hear me there? Am I there now? I'm so loud, I can't. Oh, there you go. I'm so loud, I can't tell if it's on or not. God is so good.
So watch this now. Let me tell you something. There was a cat and a mouse died on the same day.
And it's hard to believe they did it. A cat and a mouse died on the same day, and they went to heaven. A few weeks later, St. Peter asked the mouse, "How'd you like it so far?" The mouse said, "It's awesome. It's beautiful, but it's so big I can barely get through there. Do you mind if I have a pair of roller skates?" And so St. Peter said, "That's not a problem. Go ahead and get you some roller skates." And so about another few weeks went by, and he saw the cat, and he said, "Cat, how do you like it up here?" He said, "It is so awesome." He said, "Just when you think it can't get any better, you discover Meals on Wheels." Have you ever felt like you in heaven, but you're still Meals on Wheels? You feel like you've been eat up, and no matter how hard you try, you still eat up? Well, last week we started something, and we're going to finish it this week, and that is From Victim to Victory. Now, we're not going to finish it. Like I told you, I was trying to take our precious time, and let us get it to the point where we can digest it. Last week we talked; it was very, very in depth and very crucial. And this week we're going to go ahead and finish up in certain areas. But next week we're going to go even deeper. Here's David in Psalm 109. David doesn't even sound like himself. David has when he was being hunted down by Saul, he didn't sound like this. He said, "I'm not going to touch God's anointed." When his own son come after him, he said, "We're not going to hurt him." When his enemies came in this way to knock him down, he was constantly saying, "I'm not going to handle it this way." But now, in Psalm 109, guess what? He's handling it in a different way. Matter of fact, it's in a way very, very different from David. You know, sometimes we get problems in our life and we handle it a certain way. And then there comes this moment, this obstacle, this thing that hits us and it causes us to act out of our nature. Anybody ever been there? David is acting out of his nature. But David is slipping into a victim mentality. It could be that this was done when Doeg came and killed all the priests, when David went and got the sword and the bread, and Doeg came and killed all the priests. It could have happened around this time. We're not sure exactly when, but David wrote this on the run. And while he's on the run, as a matter of fact, here's how it is. While he's on the run, he's not having any fun. Amen? Some of y'all in here right now, you know what I'm talking about. You've been on the run, and when you're on the run, ain't no fun. Amen? And so here we go. Get your Bibles out. Turn to Psalm 109. Stand for the reading of the Word. God is so awesome all the time. Amen. Here we go. Psalm 109. "Hold not thy peace, O God of my praise, for the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful are opened against me. They have spoken against me with lying tongues. They compassed me about also with words of hatred and fought against me without a cause. For my love, they are adversaries, but I give myself into prayer. They have rewarded me evil for good and have hatred for my love." Here it goes. We didn't go this far last week. "Set thou a wicked man over against him and let Satan stand at his right hand. When he shall be judged, let him be condemned, and let his prayer become sin." Does this sound like David, the blessed psalmist? "Let his days be few, and let another take his office." Of course, this is also spoke of with Peter when he's talking about Judas in the book of Acts. "Let his children be fatherless, and his wife a widow. Let his children be continually vagabonds and beg. Let them seek their bread also out of their desolate places. Let the extortioner catch all that he hath, and let the strangers spoil his labor. Let there be none to extend mercy unto him, neither let there be any favor to his fatherless children." Wow, I'm just going to stop it right there. Wow. Somebody said that don't sound like David. Amen. Now I want you to sit back and think about yourself and think about the times that you talked to God and you didn't sound like yourself. Amen. Whatever you're going through has got you down. David is in a victim mentality state. But praise God, he does not stay there. Lord, we love you. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We know, God, you're alive and well on the throne. Father, we know, God, all things are in your hands and you're capable of all things. I ask you right now, Lord, to touch us, to open our eyes. Help us to see. Help us to know. Help us to understand what you are doing in our midst. And Father, we know, Lord, great are you. You are mighty. You are great. We don't have anything to worry about as long as we trust you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen, amen. You can go sit down on the way down. Tell somebody the past is behind us. The future is ahead of us. God is with us, and nothing shall be impossible. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise again. Now, I'm just going to hit a few slides from last week, just so you can kind of get a jet, kind of understand where I'm coming from with this thing. Some of us in here right now, do not raise your hand. Do not point. Some of us right now, if we were to put a name tag on you, that would be your name tag. Hello, my name is Victim. Wow. The victim mentality has come along and it's taking a hold of you. Matter of fact, victim mentality is on the rise, and victim mentality is the product of trauma. Remember, trauma. Somebody's been attacked. Somebody has felt the attack, although the person giving it may not feel like they attacked them. The person receiving it felt the attack. You got to remember this when you're dealing with people. You may give it one way, but they receive it another way. Part of counseling with couples and counseling with people, with groups, is letting them know that you may have given it out one way. You may have given it out of your mouth like a feather, but they received it like a brick. You may have thought you were patting them on the back, but they felt like you were kicking them in the rear. So you got to be careful. And especially if somebody comes to you and says, it's none of my business, but. And the best things you can tell them is, you're right, and keep on walking. Because they're getting ready to tell you something that's going to strike the victim mentality. Now, not everybody. Some people come to you and really help you. But I'm talking about there's some that's just their way of stepping in with their guns loaded. But you can't. But they got silencers on. It's none of my business, but. All right. So watch this now. Quickly, it sweeps you off balance. And Satan keeps you bound. Not only does he keep you bound, but there's these invisible chains. And we talked about the Invisalign fence last week, so we're not going to go back into that. But let me just keep on going. This is from last week. Some people go through life asking, why does this always happen to me? I wonder why all these bad things keep happening to me. The lion's looking in the water, mad at a person attacking him, not realizing he's attacking himself. Wow. Wow. We get mad at our spouses. We get mad at other people when the whole thing is we are attacking ourselves. So you got that victim mentality keeps you in this kind of weird, weird thing going on. That's why terrorism is so successful. It makes us victims. It causes us to develop this mentality where you're really even scared to step outside without looking over your shoulder all the time. You hear a pop or you hear a loud noise and you're jumping and you're looking. So in the beginning of this psalm, David has become a victim. But by the end of this psalm, he refuses to be a victim, but instead, he becomes a victor. Now, here it is. This is what we started with last week. Three things that the victim mentality does. Number one, when you talk about it, see, you ever felt like that? That's you? You're drowning? Listen, three things. Three things that the victim mentality creates. Watch this. Number one. David feels that the peace of God has been withheld. He says, the God of my peace, don't withhold your peace from me. So the first target of victim mentality is your peace. If Satan can steal your peace, he's got a doorway into your life. If he can steal your peace, he has a doorway into your thought process. If he can steal your peace, he has a doorway into your spiritual thought process, your ability to communicate with God, your physical ability to communicate with others. Once your peace is gone, things really start getting tough. And so here he is. He says, hold not thy peace, O God of my praise, for the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful are opened against me. They have spoken against me with a lying tongue. They have compassed me about with words of hatred and fought against me without a cause. For my love, they are adversaries. I give myself unto prayer, and they have rewarded me evil for good and hatred for love. So now, again, real quick, when God's helping you, remember this, when your peace is under attack, here's these scriptures. I want you to look at them. John 14:27, Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you, not as the world gives you, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And then Philippians 4 and 7, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, would you remember this now? For I know the plans and thoughts I have for you, says the Lord. This is one of the versions in the Hebrew. Plans for peace and well-being and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. You say, remember this now. It is not God that is taking your peace. Remember this. It's not God that's taking your peace. It's only when we let the devil distort the truth that we lose our peace. God desires you to have peace more than you want it. Is that possible? Yes. God wants you to have peace more than you want it. So that's from last week, all right? First, he steals your peace. Now, just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not out to get you. I want to read that again. Just because you're paranoid, it doesn't mean they're not out to get you. Amen. I remember hearing about the guy that thought everybody was talking about him. Everybody was out to get him. He couldn't even go to football games because every time he got out in the stands in the football games and the team got in the huddle, he thought they were talking about him. Okay, here we go. I know. Here we go. Number two, David felt that others were talking about him constantly. The next target is the darts of paranoia. You can usually tell when somebody's got the victim mentality. Because of the victim mentality, now you're looking over your shoulder because you're a victim. You're expecting every nook and every cranny to have somebody there waiting to get you. Even when people that are meaning good for you, when they go to talk to you because you're so paranoid, when they even come to try to give you help, you won't even accept it because you say they've got an ulterior motive. You know, if you see somebody that talks about this all the time, I got some of my family that does that. Somebody will say, well, let me help you. And he'll go, no, that's all right, I got it. And the guy will walk away and he'll go, he's up to something. Yeah, he's trying to help you. No, he's up to something. No, he's trying to help you. There's a difference. You see, this paranoia is feeling that everybody is watching or talking about you. Now watch this. Now watch carefully. I want you to watch this. Paranoia is based upon, first, your hurts. Hurts that have been improperly processed. Anytime something happens to you, you have to process it. Remember talking one night about the chair when you have been, somebody's hurt you, but they're dead and gone or they can't get to them. And how you need to get it out, you process it. How do you process it? You put the empty chair there, and you talk to them like they're there. Because you're processing, you're getting it out. It's inside of your heart, inside of your spirit, and it's causing your organs to be pushed apart. And so once you start getting it out, it lets everybody, you start being able to breathe again. So first, hurts that have been improperly processed, which leads to fear, because now these fears come on because you say there's no repair. I've improperly processed my hurt. I got a fear that there's no repair for this, and there's mistrust. Well, if I can't get over this, then I got to be careful because it's going to happen again. Has anybody ever been there? That's what David's doing right now, exactly what David is feeling. He's feeling this. It's going through his mind right now. This mistrust is going to happen again. And then it gives you unreal expectations because now they're just waiting. Everybody wants to get me. Everybody wants to hurt me. I hear people say this thing like, doesn't anybody care anymore? Have you ever heard anybody say that? Doesn't anybody care anymore? Yes. Doesn't anybody do such and such anymore? Yes. Yes, don't fall in the paranoia trap because that's where Satan wants you. Because if you get in the paranoia trap, even when people come to try to help you, you refuse to help because you think they're out to get you. You think they're out to hurt you. And you just cannot trust anybody anymore. And so you try to do it on your own. And God calls us the body of Christ. And each of us a member of the body of Christ. He didn't call me the body of Christ. He called me a member of the body of Christ. Sometimes I'm the mouth, sometimes I'm the ear, sometimes I'm the eye. It depends on the situation, same way with you. But no time did God say, I am the body of Christ by myself. There's no such thing as Superman. Even he had kryptonite. Okay? So look. So here's Elijah. Elijah, he's gone out and he's done his thing for God. He's worked hard for God. He's gone and built he's seen God move in a very powerful, powerful way. He's watched God do some powerful stuff in his life. Uh-oh, here he goes. He's watching me, isn't he? He knows I'm watching him. Uh-oh, cats always do that. Matter of fact, if I see a cat, I get paranoid. Dogs are awesome. Cats, plus what? You are a dog's owner. You're part of a cat's staff. Okay, that's right. So here we go. So now, he talks here and he goes, here's Elijah. He says, I'm the only one. See, he replied, I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left. Huh. Gloom be spared and agony on me. Ah! Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. Come on, praise team. Ah! If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Ah! Gloom be spared and agony on me. Some folks, that ought to be their theme song. Some folks, I'm telling you, their favorite color is midnight blue. Midnight black. Their favorite bird is the vulture. Their favorite tune is the death march. Because they're expecting all the time, I'm the only one, God. Look what I've done, and I'm the only one. Nobody's here to help me. They're all here to hurt me. Poor old Mr. Elijah's having paranoia. Bad paranoia. And so God tells him, says, hold on. And they're trying to kill him. He says, hold on. He says, I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed down to Baal and whose mouths have not kissed him. 7,000! And all Elijah can think is, look at what I've done, and everybody's against me. Nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. I think I'll eat some worms for breakfast. Paranoid. When you feel this coming on, it's important, very important, that you keep your perspective. You're not the only one. We have a God that's much more powerful than that. God is much more powerful than we ever could imagine. God has a plan for each one of us, and in that plan, there's people in that plan. And even if there's somebody in that plan that hurts you, that's part of the plan too. You can't learn how to thrive if you don't learn how to survive. We had these guys teaching pie in the sky. It's not pie in the sky. It's bye-bye, Miss American Pie. I drove my Chevy to the levee, and the levee was dry. We'll leave it alone. Yeah, thank you. I found out early on one of my favorite hymns that I used to sing all the time after I got saved was, I beg your pardon, I never promised you a rose garden. That's what God used to sing to me. Sing me to sleep. Let me tell you something. Don't get in this caught up thinking you're the only one and nobody wants you, everybody wants to hurt you. Because when you do that, you're falling into Satan's trap. Number one, he robs your peace. Once he robs your peace, then he gets you paranoid. When he gets you paranoid, you start looking over your shoulder for everything. I mean, every nook, every cranny, you just start looking everywhere for problems. Let me tell you something. There's enough problems pop up by themselves without me creating any. Amen. So now, here's number three. Get ready. There we go. Woo! Warning, Will Robertson. Life is not fair. We can go home now. Life is not fair. One more time. Just in case you didn't get it the first two times. Life is not fair. So God teaches us how to deal with it. I can look. In the last couple of days, I'm telling you, I got called into two people that were dying, and both of them have less than a week to live. And so I went in And one, we'll make sure if this person was right with God, and so I'm in there with that person. And then the other person is in Cary, who I used to pastor, and they're going to come back to Smithfield if they make it through today. And I'll go see them tomorrow, but it's just two. And then last night, I mean, I get this wild call, and I go out, and I'm out hunting down somebody because it's some bad stuff going on. You know, they're not from here. Y'all don't know them. But still, there's some bad stuff going on, possible suicide and some things. Then by the time I'm on the way back home, I get a call to go to the hospital. So at 12 o'clock, I come home, and I'm writing this. And I said, Lord, can you cut me a little slack so I can work on this? And the first thing he popped up was, life is not fair. Some of y'all this week have been popped right smack in the mouth with a wet noodle. And you're thinking, God, I thought we had favor with you. I thought we had power with you. I thought we had the anointing with you. I thought you were all over us. He is. Because if he hadn't been all over you, it could have been about buckshot in your mouth. It could have been something slapping you on the head. A plane could fall out of the sky. Whatever. God's favor's still there, but God knows life isn't fair, because if it was fair, we wouldn't need grace. If it was fair, we wouldn't need a Savior. Even favor itself is not fair. Because God gives me things I don't deserve, withholds things that I should have happen to me. So even grace is not fair. So why should life be fair? So now watch this. Here it goes. Number three. Here's the third thing that happened to old David in his victim mentality. Get ready. He felt, although he was innocent, he received hatred for his love. Let me just tell you something. Now remember, you may be thinking that you're justified in how you talk to somebody and justified in how you treat somebody. And you may walk away and think, well, I've done my job. I was riding down the road last night trying to get somewhere, and I almost ran over a woman in the middle of the road riding a mechanical wheelchair. She was driving a mechanical wheelchair with no reflectors, nothing. And I saw her, and I moved over to the side. And I pulled over, and she pulled on over right there by the Dollar Tree. So I pulled over in the Dollar Tree. She pulls over, and she goes, wow, it's cold out there. And I said, wow, you could be dead out there. I tried not to say anything. You know me. And she goes, sir, what are you talking about? I said, you know you had no reflectors on the back of that thing? You're riding in the dark, in the rain. People, if they had the windshield wipers on, they would have not have seen you at all. I prayed for you to get on across the road because I said, I'm surprised you're still living. And she goes, whoa. I said, no. I said, you know, and I was in a hurry because I had a medical emergency I had to take care of. And so I told her, I said, I need you. I didn't even know who this woman was. I said, I need you to go back there and get a reflector right now. If I had time, I'd put it on for you and put it on the back of that wheelchair. Do not get back out on that road without a wheelchair, because you're going to get run over and get killed. And she said, whoa. She said, thank you, sir. And I walked out, and I bet she went, whew. I would have hated to think, number one, that she would have got run over. Number two, I'd have hated the thought that I run over her, because you couldn't see her. I didn't know what it was. I thought it was a dog running beside me. I really did. I said, that dog looks kind of squared off. It's because it's a wheelchair with no reflectors. You see, she could have walked away and said, he don't like me. She could have walked away and said, he was mean to me. Well, honestly, I held back. Because if it had been one of my kids or my wife, one of my kids, we go to the woodshed, he wouldn't need a reflector. Boo-boo. 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 You see, sometimes we think we're talking to people and we think we're giving like it's supposed to be. We tell them, just like it is. You walk away and feel justified, but that person feels like you have attacked them. And sometimes they even feel like all they've done is good. They tried to be good to you, but you're still attacking them. So this is so perplexing in David's life. You see, David, he just tried to be good. He tried his best to please God. He pleased his father. His brothers were always against him. He goes out to feed his brothers some lunch while they're fighting Goliath. And his brothers, when he says, what's going on? Why is this Philistine out here doing this to everybody? And here's his brother saying, he's just out here to get, because he's nosy and he wants to see what's going on. David couldn't catch a break. So then he gets out there and he fights Goliath, and then he winds up going in and staying with Saul and his musician. But then he goes to battle, and when he goes to battle, now Saul gets jealous of him, and now Saul's attacking him. And so here we go. We got all this stuff going on. David has done his best to be as good as he can possibly be. And no matter how hard he tries, he meets adversary after adversary, obstacle after obstacle, every step of the way. He's anointed at 17 to be the, or 15, 15, 16, 17, to be the king of Israel. But he was not the king of Israel until he was 30 years old, because the whole time he was either fighting for or being fought against this whole time. For 10, 12 years. Can you imagine? 10 or 12 years of just nothing but misery. And then he gets these guys following him. And then Ziklag, he goes out. And while they're going to fight for the enemy, another enemy comes and takes their wives and their children. Now his men are going to kill him. Kind of like your co-workers. You're the supervisor. And you're telling them, we got to get this done. But they say, well, I'm not sure if this is the way to do it. Well, you're going to do it this way anyway. Let's go. And you go do it and you come back. And now disaster's happened. Now your men want to kill you. Can you imagine? So now, here's David. He's saying, wait a minute, I've been innocent. I've tried to do right, and it just don't make sense. This is not making sense. His peace is gone. He's paranoid. And now he's sitting like Elijah under the juniper tree, and he's thinking, I've given my all to meet a need. I've put my life in danger to meet a need. I stood against army after army after army to meet a need. And instead of getting back after I met that need, I received what I didn't need. Anybody ever been there? So look, here it is. Here it is, victim mentality. Number one, your peace is gone. Number two, you're paranoid. Number three, you're just perplexed. You can't figure this out. You're trying to do good and you're receiving bad for it. You're trying to get there and you can't figure all this out. And then here's what happens. Here's the final stage of the victim mentality. Not everybody will reach this to the point David did, but you're going to reach it. I can guarantee. How'd that guy say that? Cajun say, I can guarantee it. You're going to reach this if you don't let God help you. Watch. Warning. Toxic. Do not touch. You're going to drink of a very bitter cup. Very bitter cup. Here it goes. Now he develops a poisonous perspective. Think about this thing now. Think about it. Here is the future king. Then he is the king. You know, I'm not sure exactly when he wrote this, but it's probably before he was the king. So here he is. Here's the great psalmist, the one that loved God, loved people, loved the sheep. He stood and fought. He was such an awesome man. And here he goes. Here's his prayer about those people that were hurting him. Oh, Heavenly Father. Touch them and bless them. Anoint them and use them. Not long ago, Bethany and I were riding, and there was this person that had done me wrong, and Bethany knew it. And I rode by where they were at. And Bethany looked at me. No, Bethany wasn't paying attention. I reached my hand out, and I said, God, I want you to bless his coming in and going out. God, I want you to bless him and anoint him. Let him feel your power and anointing. Let him know that you love him and that you got a work for him to do. And Bethany just went, whoa. Whoa. I said, what's wrong, Bethany? She said, you know, she just blew me away. She said, it took guts for you to do that. And I said, why? You know what God commands us to do? Bless those that curse us. She said, yeah, Daddy. She said, but to see it in action? She said, blew me away. I said, well, get ready because you'll get blown away a lot. Because God's got a lot of things in life for you to do. And you've got to get past your hurts to let God use you. Here's what David does. This doesn't even sound like David. Set thou a wicked man over him and let Satan stand in his right hand. When he shall be judged, let him be condemned. Let his prayer become sin. Let his days become few. Let another take his office. Let his children be fatherless and his wife a widow. Let his children be continually vagabonds and beg, and let them seek their bread also at desolate places. Let the extortioner catch all that he have, and let the strangers spoil his labor. Wow. Watch this. Here it is. You want a short version? This isn't the King James Version. This is the Possum Track Version. He became poisonous. He said, pour it on hard, God, and don't stop pouring even after he's gone. The blessed psalmist. The one, when Saul was being tormented by the spirits, the evil spirits, he could go and play and they would calm down. That blessed psalmist, the one that knew his sheep and the sheep knew him, and he defended them and goes with all this innocency before to feed his brothers before Goliath, and stands before Goliath with nothing but a sling and stones, and tears that tater up. Now he's saying, sick him, God. And I want you just to sick him. I want you to make him hurt. And I want you to make him bleed. And I want you to make him feel this like he's never felt it before. And I want you to take every avenue that he's got away from him. And I want you to close every port that has any chance of any sunshine coming into him. I want you to take him. I want you to smother him. I want you to kill him. And when you get through, I want you to hang him. And pull him out and put him in a electric chair. And when you get through that, put him in front of a firing squad. Read it. Let him die young and let his children know the pain. Don't stop with him, even his seed. Wow. Let me just ask a question again. Is that David? Is that how David sounds? What's going on? He's got a victim mentality. Instead of seeing God using all this stuff to help him, instead of his faith kicking in, his feelings are kicking in. How many has ever let your faith override your feelings? Look at this. You listened to it again, didn't you? Yeah. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? In other words, he listened to his feelings and got whooped. If I go by my feelings, matter of fact, a lot of y'all, if you went by your feelings today, you wouldn't be here. If you went by your feelings, you may be in jail. Some of y'all be serving life. If you went by your feelings. You see, watch this. Reality check. Here it goes. David was a man after God's own heart, which meant he was very yielded to God. But he still had feelings. It's just okay to acknowledge your feelings. It's just not okay to react in life based on your feelings. If you do everything by your feelings, there's going to be a problem. Feelings are crazy. The heart is deceitful. Who can know it? It's desperately wicked. Because there's stuff in there. Go ahead and take care of them. Tell them what they need to hear. Go ahead and kick them while they're down. They deserve it. Go ahead and get them. They hurt you, you hurt them. That's your feelings. You say, well, I never think that thing. Oh, come on. If you never thought evil, somebody hurting you right now, y'all come up and take this. I'll go sit down. We all do. But the more you give into it, the greater it gets. The more you nestle it, the more you feed it, the worse it gets. So here we go. A little acrostic for you. I should have put this across here, but I didn't. I'm just going to tell you. When things happen to you, you can let it make you a victim or a victor. Next week we're going to step out of this hole big time next week. Just building a case. You can go through things, or you can grow through it. Look at there. It's so sweet to hear a baby go cuckoo, gaga, and take that little, like Eam, take that little pacifier and put it in his mouth and part his lips and put it in there and go, ooh, ooh, ooh. But it gets disgusting when you have to part a mustache to do it. God expects us to grow. This is heavy-duty stuff we're doing. You're thinking, just coming here today is just, well, it's my duty. No, whether you know it or not, you are engaged in spiritual warfare. Your soul is on the line. There's people that you know, their soul is on the line. And what you're doing right now, what you're learning right now, is ammunition to go out and to take hell on. And that's why Satan don't want us to be in church. He don't want us to feel this collaborative faith and hear messages like this wherever. It's because he knows that if you get armed, then you'll become dangerous. If you get dangerous, you're going to take him on. Now, when this stuff happens to you, look, every time something happens to you, you grow from it. Grow. You know, well, here it goes. Here it is, grow. Here's the acrostic. I just went ahead and put it all up there, so I'm going to kind of explain it. G, when you've been hurt and somebody has devastated you, I'm not talking about some little Mickey Mouse thing we can flip them with, you know, I'm talking about you've been hurt. I mean hurt bad. Well, Lord, if you only knew how bad I got hurt, you don't think he knows? Well, God, I didn't see it coming, and God says, I did. Well, God, I can't get through this. You can with me. Well, God, I don't understand. This is devastating. He says, I know. That's why I said in my word, where sin abound, grace did much more abound, which means super abound. It's not a 1-to-1 ratio, bad and good. It's not a 1-to-5 ratio, bad and good. When it says where sin abound, grace did much more abound, here it is. Watch this. Where sin abound, sin, grace did much more. Watch this. Where there's bad, there's, watch this. There's good. And then some. G, give offense to God. Let's give it to him. You know, I remember my boys coming to me when they were little. And they were going, boo-boo, Daddy, boo-boo. And I look and they'd hand me something tore up. You know, one day, I can't remember. It was either Sierra when she was little or Emmy, one or the other. But I'm sitting there and we're sitting there talking and playing. And they keep putting this candy in my mouth. And M&Ms and candy. And I'm eating it right along, playing with them, having a good time. And it started getting, something don't taste right. Matter of fact, those M&Ms are supposed to be melting your mouth, not in your hand. Something ain't right. And so I decided I'd look before I got the next one. And so they handed me, when they got ready to pull the candy out of the bag, I looked at it, and they went in their own mouth. I said, oh, that's why it's not tasting quite right. And in our house, you could never, if anybody ever come to us, you know, at Christmas time, people come to church, and they come and give us these boxes of candy with all these little Whitman things, and I carry it home, and DC and Daniel say, we want to see that, Dad. And I come in and say, well, don't eat them all. Okay, I go in there, and they're still in the box. I'm thinking, wow, this is awesome. They didn't even eat them. And I go and pick it up. When I pick it up, it starts falling out because they had opened it up and went, stuck it back in. If they liked it, they kept it. If they didn't, they just stuck it back in. And so I had all these pieces of candy that the bottom was taken out of. Okay. Boo-boo. Boo-boo, Daddy. Boo-boo, Daddy. When they get older, it's more or less, matter of fact, you know, when they're a little bitty and they make a little boo-boo, you're thinking, God, thank you so much for this young. And it's so sweet. They made a boo-boo. Oh, it's so awesome. Thank you for my boys. They're so awesome. Yeah, they had a boo-boo, but it's okay. Thank you for them. Then when they get 16, you're going, God, what did I do to deserve this? All right. Give the offense to God. As hard as it is, you got to give it. And then watch this. You have to respond, not react. We've been talking about this a lot on Tuesday nights. Here it is. If the doctor gives you an antibiotic and you break out in hives and you're itching and you've turned red, And he calls and says, how's the medicine? Is it working, or you know, is it responding, or is it reacting? What's it doing? You're reacting to it. But if he gives you that medicine, and when he gives you that medicine, all of a sudden, the bumps go away, you get cleared up, you feel better, the temperature's gone. What you going to say? You are responding to the medicine. When things happen to you, no matter how bad it is, you can respond or react. I catch myself sometimes reacting, and I say, why am I doing this? I know better than this. Why am I reacting? Need to respond. In other words, watch this. Reach up for help, not down. If I reach down, I know what kind of help I'm going to get. You know, fencing, I think about, you know, you reach down, they're going to give you a sword so you can stab somebody. Yesterday, Lynn and I were watching TV, and she saw this, these people were fencing, and she said, I'd love to do that too. That sounds awesome. I said, well, you know, one time, Daddy, I was watching a cowboy show, and they were fencing, and I told Daddy, I'd love to go fencing. I love the fence too. And Daddy said, well, come on outside. I walked outside, and they gave me a pair of hole diggers. His idea of fencing was a whole lot different. His was dig a hole and put a post down, not. Oh. Whew. Go ahead and reel them in. Them toes. Own your response. Well, God, if they hadn't have done this, I wouldn't be this way. Well, God, if they hadn't have done that then, and if you only knew what I was going through, and if he would act different, I'd act different, and if he would respond different, I'd respond different. No! Own your response. When you stand before God, God's not going to say, oh, you poor pitiful thing. I understand. They were mean to you, so we'll let you get a bye on this one. Let them in. Just forget that one because they were done wrong. Okay? When Jesus carried that cross up to Calvary's Hill, was he done right? Was he innocent? Was he trying to help people? Had he done any wrong? Did he even talk wrong? No. He said no guy was even found in his mouth. Own your response. Quit blaming everybody. And then finally, walk it out. With the word. Walk it out. Wow. You say, well, that's pretty easy for you to say. You're a preacher. You know the word. Well, guess what? You're a Christian. You should know the word too. Don't go throwing me. Well, I don't know the word. Guess whose fault it is if you don't know the word? Pick up a mirror and look in it and say, it's you, all you. Nobody else but you. Do, 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 do. Aloha, poopy-doo. Well, the preacher will tell me everything I know on Sunday. No, I can't. Because I'm not with you every step of the way. But the Holy Spirit is. And the Bible says the Holy Spirit will bring back to you everything you've learned. If you ain't learning. So here we go. Watch this. I'm getting ready to close. So I told you, this is the end. This is the last slide next to the last slide. Ready? Quit clinging to things that are out of your control. Let go and get out of God's way. Oh, wow. God, yeah, God, I'm telling you, God, you see what they've done to me? I think that you ought to do this to them. And God's going, nah. Well, God, it would make me feel a whole lot better if you would just go ahead and blind them and maim them and let them drag across the ground and let me run over them two or three times and back up, make sure I got them. I feel a whole lot better. And God says, no. Quit clinging to things that are outside of your control. Let go and get out of God's way so he can do what needs to be done. Wow. That's powerful. That is so powerful. In other words, you're waiting for God to do something. He's saying, I will if you get out of the way. Whoa. I'll do something. God can't shoot. And he goes, I would, but you're in the way. My favorite thing, my daddy and mom would say, your mom and daddy weren't glass makers. Get out of the way. We're trying to watch TV here, son. Get out of the way. You know, back in the day, We were the one. When I was 6, 7, 8 years old, we had a 9-inch black and white remote control rotor antenna television. I would stand on one side and move the antenna, and my brother would stand on the other side and change the channels. I felt like I was on The Price is Right. And every now and then, we get to watch it. But then there comes a time when there's bad weather. And no matter if Daddy already put a whole roll of tinfoil on the rabbit ears, you'd have to stand there and hold it. Then Daddy said, lift your arm. Turn your head. He'd go, okay, son, stay just like that. The show's getting good. Y'all remember those days? Yeah. My granddaddy had one of the first 25-inch RCA color console. Weighed 9,000 pounds. He had that thing. And look, we thought it was big, 25-inch. That was a big TV. And I was working at a television shop. I came in one day, and he had his TV. He had the sound on his television, but he had the picture on his TV. Y'all never seen that before, have you? Back in the day. And he called me and said, grandson, I need you to come by here. I said, why? He said, come by here tomorrow, please. I said, what for, granddaddy? He said, fix my television. I said, sure, granddaddy, what's wrong? He says, well, it ain't working. And so I looked at it and I found out what was wrong with it. He said, last night I watched Charlton Heston on that 9-inch TV. He tried to get those Israelites over the Red Sea. He said, my TV was so small he had to make 2 trips. Get ready. We're closing. Eventually. Did I turn it off? Oh, there it goes. God tells us how to treat mistreaters. Number one, we have a Father that we can turn to when we get hurt. He says in Psalm 50 and 15, call upon me in the day of trouble. Psalm 55, 22, he says, cast your burden on the Lord and he will sustain you. See, when you read the New Testament, you're thinking, wow, this is some awesome stuff. And it is. But you don't realize that a lot of the Old Testament, the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. So, we have a Father in heaven we can turn to. Pass it up. Daddy, I got a boo-boo here. Then watch this. We have a positive example of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but he trusted him who judges justly. 1 Peter 2 and 23. The creator of the world is being taken on by his creation. Now remember Gulliver's Travels, and you see this picture, how big Gulliver is, and those little bitty men at Lilypad, or what's that called, whatever place it is, they're throwing the shooting things over him, they're trying to tie him all down. And when he just wakes up, he just gets up and throws everything off of him. Jesus could have done that. But he didn't. He knew God had a plan. God had a plan. Brother John, come on up here and start getting ready. And we are to follow that example. Repay no evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. I want you to think about something. We're getting ready to close out. Somebody say amen. We've had enough. You ready? Vengeance, then, is God's prerogative, not ours. God knows what's needed. We don't. It's natural to want to retaliate and get even. But the Christian faith is not a natural thing. God asks us to do things that don't make sense. Turn the other cheek. Given it shall be given. Walk by faith, not by sight. All these things God tells us. You see, the Christian faith is not natural. It is supernatural. The Holy Spirit will enable us to act or not act accordingly if we trust Him. And He will handle this. Remember last week, Jesus, the Prince of Peace. I looked in the sky one day as I was praying, and I saw a heart through the clouds, just like that. And the Lord spoke to me and said, "Why are you so fearful in this situation? I got this. I got it. I got it. I got it." Next week, we're going to go ahead and finish this. But again, I want to take our time so we can go through this slow and easy. If your peace is gone and you're paranoid, and paranoia can help you keep from getting help, it can keep you in trouble more than it helps. If you don't have any peace, you're paranoid, and you're just perplexed because you're thinking, "I've done nothing to deserve this. Why is it happening?" And then you find yourself with a poisonous attitude. Know that a victim mentality is taking hold of you. And it'll cause you to do things and say things that are not your normal reaction. And it will also cause you to hate yourself for what you do, and to walk ashamed and will not accept grace. David found out in this psalm. David starts changing his mind through this psalm. But he put it in there anyway. He could have just gone with the bottom part, but no, he put in the top part. I believe God said, "Put that in there because I need the people to see how the great David even felt." So that when David Linton is there, he'll know that there's hope and that everything is going to be all right. Everybody stand. With every head bowed and every eye closed, how many here right now, with nobody looking, because I'm not going to point you out, how many here right now will say, "You know, Pastor, I think I've been infected with the victim mentality, and I want you to pray for me, because I know with God's help, I can step way, way, way beyond this." If I'm talking to you right now, just raise your hand quickly. Just slip it up there. Slip it up there. Lord, touch them, every last one of them. Touch them. Let them understand there's hope, that you can make it with God's help. Help them know, Lord, that everything's going to be all right. Victim mentality. The victim does not have to be on your name tag. Delivered can be on their name tag. Precious to God can be on their name tag. The anointed one can be on their name tag. They don't have to have victim on their name tag. Maybe you're here this morning and you just need peace. You're struggling. This is hurting. Maybe you haven't fallen prey to the victim mentality, but it's there. And you know that if God don't do something, you're going to be there. And you need God to do something special for you this morning, but nobody looked around, every eye shut. Just slip that hand up quickly and say, "Pray for me, Pastor. I'm there, I'm there, I'm there, and I need God's help. I don't want to walk through the door." Touch them right now, Lord. Open the doors that need to be opened. Close the doors that need to be shut. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, God, that you're a powerful God. You're an awesome God. And you know what we need. And you're able to give us that we need. In the name of Jesus, we love you and we thank you for it. Now, if you wanted to raise your hand and didn't, or you got an entirely different reason that you want to pray, the altars are open. And it's okay. You can stay as long as you want because you ain't got to go to McDonald's to beat the Baptist. We got food across the street. Come on and pray. Come on and pray. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. All that will, come and pray. Whatever your need may be, come and pray. We serve a powerful God. We serve a great God. We serve a God that knows us and has our best interests at heart. He's going to take all that mess that's in your life and make a powerful message out of it. You got to trust Him. He's going to take that test that you're in and make it into a testimony. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. You're an awesome God. You're a powerful God. You're a just God. Life is not fair, but you are. Thank you, Father. It's all going to come out in the end. It's all going to come out in the end. I thank you, God, that you're a just God. And it's all going to come out in the end. Thank you, Father. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. Everybody put up your hands. Everybody put your hand up. Repeat after me. Ready? Repeat after me. I refuse to be a victim of my circumstances. The Bible tells us that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We know how to be abased, which means to be beat down, or we know how to abound, to be over through your word. We refuse to give in the name of Jesus. We praise your name and we thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You got it? There you go. Thank you, Father. Glory to the Lamb of God. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Next week, we're going to talk about how David climbed out of that pit. That's going to be awesome. Just remember this week, I remember my boys would go, Daddy, that ain't fair. And I'll tell them, yeah, people in hell want ice water. And they go, Daddy, that ain't funny. I said, that ain't funny to them either. Life is not fair, but God is good. Get that picture in your mind throughout the week. Life is not fair, but God is good. Amen. Everybody stand.
We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we've had to be in this your house today. And Lord, as we go through this week, put it in our minds that although life is not fair, victory is ours through you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.